The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
Good Tuesday morning, September 27th, 2022, and welcome to another edition of Analyze This here on your NPR station in the U.S. Virgin Islands, WTJX FM 93.1. With yours truly, Neville James, a beautiful day in paradise, and got a great show lineup today. And the candidates, candidates speak our number two. First gubernatorial team that's going to be joining us. They ran out Picard, Elroy Turnbull team. Let me see what number they are. They're going to be joining us. They are number two. They're joining us in our number two. Our number one, we should be getting a call soon from Miss Joanne Luciano to tell us about that data training that's going on for government employees. So looking forward to talking with her in a couple of minutes. Keeping an eye out on Tropical Storm Ian. Hurricane Ian, I should say. It made landfall in Cuba. And Florida apparently is... the west coast of Florida apparently is going to be impacted by the storm, and let me check here to see what's going on. Okay, the most recent advisory, I think it's advisory number 17. Yeah, advisory number 17 at 5 a.m. but I should have one for 8 o'clock by now, I would think. Let me see. Archives. Main advisory. Yeah, Ian should have a 8 a.m. advisory because it is 8:03 right about now. So we're gonna look at that. There we go. Public Advisory 17A, 22.6 North, 83.6 West. Okay. 10 miles north-northeast of the city of Pinar del Rio in Cuba. 130 miles south-southwest of the Dry Tortugas. That's Florida. Maximum sustained winds, 125 miles per hour. Present movement, north. Going due north now at 12 miles an hour. Minimum central pressure, 950 millibars, 28.05 inches of mercury. Okay? Hurricane warning is in effect for Cuban provinces of Isla de Juventud, Pinar del Rio, Artemisa, Bonita Beach, to the Anclote River, including Tampa Bay, Dry Tortugas. And a storm surge is in effect for Anclote River southward to Flamingo and Tampa Bay. Okay? Tropical storm warning is in effect for Cuban provinces of La Habana, Mayabeque, Matanzas, the Lower Florida Keys from 7 Mile Bridge westward to Key West, Flamingo to Bonita Beach, Suwannee River to the Anclote River, Volusia and Brevard County line south to Jupiter Inlet and Lake Okeechobee. Okay? So if you got family in southern Florida, okay, on the western side, right? The Tampa side, Naples, all around, so Sarasota, Clearwater, St. Petersburg. Reach out to them and let them know that it's coming with serious intensity and to make all the necessary preparations. We've got Miss Joanne Luciano, the data mom, joining us this morning. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you? Fantastic.
Good. How's St. Thomas?
Beautiful. It's sunny. Lovely.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Good. And how's the data entry program been going for the government employees?
The class is going wonderful. And we have 26 people enrolled from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe 9 different areas across. About half the class is from WAPA.
Water and Power Authority. That's good.
Yes. Department of Construction, Finance, Housing Finance, Department of Agriculture, Department of Labor, Bureau of Corrections, and the Energy Office.
Okay, that's good. And what are we hoping to accomplish between now and Friday? Between last Wednesday and Friday, I should say.
Well, you know, the primary purpose is to raise awareness and develop literacy so that conversations can take place and better decisions can be made. So we just, on Friday, had an in-depth going over Excel. And for those that already were more advanced in Excel, we went and used Tableau and also discussed Microsoft, their analytics platform. So we're just making sure that we're meeting people wherever they're at in terms of giving them additional skills to have them make their day flow better with the data that they're dealing with. We are discussing statistics tomorrow and visualizations, and on Friday, data management plans and FAIR data principles. And FAIR means findable, accessible, interoperable, and reusable, which is really important for data. Like, you just don't want to collect it and then if you have it, right, you want to be able to use it. So your data needs to be FAIR. It needs to be findable. If you can't find it, it's not going to do you any good. If you can't access it because of the format or because it's in a PDF and an accessible, readable format. So we discuss all these different things. Interoperable, you want to aggregate your data, like this effort that's going on with the Health Exchange. We want to bring different clinics and providers together so that we can make better decisions and see the more complete picture. And then the reusable is part of that. You can't reuse it without the proper metadata because you need to understand all the context. Because why? Why is context important, Neville?
Context, data without context has no meaning.
That's right.
It's the truth. You know, it's the truth. Yeah. I mean, raw data, tells you about volume and what you've collected, but you got to break it down, you know, in its proper context, you know. So you need context. Context is important. So thank you very much for tipping me to that basic principle. And it's not just about data, it's about everything. Everything should be looked at in its proper context.
Yeah.
You know, communicating with communication, is critical. That's why at times people say things and you hear them say, well, you took me in the wrong context, or you took what was said in the wrong context, because context is important, you know?
It gives it the meaning. So without it, there is no meaning, right?
That's right.
And in the wrong context, it's misleading or misinformation. You take something by context, and its meaning changes completely.
No, you know, data is what it is, you know. But it's really about, for example, the government is in the business of collecting revenues, right? And we know that typically, the three biggest revenue generating months of the year are April, June, and September, right? Three of those months are actually corporate tax revenue months. So basically, you know, if the government is collecting $1 billion a year, and those 3 months are responsible for half of that $1 billion, right? That means that the other 9 months are responsible for the other half, right? So the proper context is, well, when you look at it contextually, right, you realize that income tax, a lot of people, we pay our income taxes in April, right? It's due that month. Mm-hmm. And then we got some more corporate tax collections in June, September, and December. So if you were to have a big May, right? When you're looking at it contextually, you realize that, for example, you typically collect, let's say, $45 million in May. And this particular month, you collected 60. When you're looking at it in its proper context, you had a very good May, because typically you only collected $45 million, a 33% increase. In this case, no. Yeah, let me see. 45 to 60. Yeah, a 33% increase. You look at it contextually, you say, well, wow, you know, that's good. So you got to find out now what triggered that. Something happened, right? That's the context we're talking about.
Right, exactly. So are people paying in advance, or are you getting more revenue?
Correct. Is that because we generated more gross receipts, because there was activity, or is it because somebody who typically pays in June decided to make the payment in May? So if that's the case, then we're looking for that potential impact, that negative impact in June, because the person was supposed to, typically they make that payment in June, they made it a month early, things of that nature. That's the context, right? That's what we're talking about.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Gives you the bigger picture. So, you know, it's you can even think of it. Sometimes I think of it as sort of roadmaps, right? You can plan accordingly if you know you've got a hill coming up, you know, or where the gas stations are, or whatever it is.
So for those who've been listening, right, when we're talking about data, it's not just in its proper context. We want to make sure that the information that we're dealing with is findable, accessible, interoperable, and reusable, all under the acronym of FEAR. So
that's correct.
We learned something this morning. Appreciate that. So
that's my intent.
So 28.
Something exciting is happening. We've just invited we taught the first cohort, which had 12 students. We taught them in July, and now we have 26 students for the September cohort. And on Friday, we're inviting them all to meet together online, so that they get to know each other. We can start developing the community. And now that people have a common language, they can start to support each other in increasing their knowledge and increasing the, interoperability across the government. Right.
Yeah, that's good. So
I'm extremely excited about this.
So we got 28 in this class, or 26?
26 in this class.
So we're going to have 38 in total talking to each other?
Yep.
That's good.
Yeah, and there's good people that couldn't, for various different reasons, were enrolled initially but couldn't stay, you know, for whatever reason, you know. So we're inviting them too. And the idea is just, you know, we're going to try to see if we can have some common, you know, subclusters when there are some common people that are working either at the same level or in similar kind of problems, and just, again, create the community of practice here so that it can just continue to grow.
You know, we found out yesterday that the Department of Interior made some money available for the territory, some $3.4 million, mm-hmm. of which a significant portion of that is for the Water and Power Authority. Purchasing certain type of trucks, hybrid bucket trucks and things of that nature. So maybe they could, when we do get these new kind of trucks, which are not fossil fuel required or operated, they could, you know, look at the benefit of the electrified vehicles and how when using those vehicles, are they more effective, and saving the government money, you know, as opposed to the gasoline-driven trucks, you know? So things of that nature, hopefully, you know, they'll benefit from this particular class that you guys have made available for them. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, energy also receives some money. Energy and university. University can get golf carts and all that stuff, so that's good.
Yes, yeah, I
said that. Yeah, so they can move around and all that. Anything else you need to let me know before we, you know?
I'll call back. Once we get, I was thinking about it this morning, you know, as we develop the community, I'm thinking that we should have a website where people could sort of, you know, go to as a resource and ask questions. You know, this idea of developing community here around data science and around data and around how you use it and how you make it more accessible and all this. This is the first time the group is meeting together, and I'm looking forward to hearing the ideas coming up from within the government itself. So I'll keep you posted on that.
Is the Department of Labor going to make a presentation, since they're the one that's financing it or playing a role in it?
Well, they're playing a huge role. Are they going to make a presentation? I don't know. We could ask the commissioner.
Yeah. Find out what's going on, because, you know, we need to...
You know, we do have... I should say that for anyone who's interested, we did a webinar last October that was what government, VI government employees need to know about data. And it's really not just for the VI government. It's also for the VI residents. It's very interesting. There were 5 panelists. It's available on YouTube. I think I'm trying to think of what it's on. I think it's on. I'm trying to remember which YouTube channel it's on. I'll get that information to you. I'll text you.
Yeah, get it to me. Get it to me. Let me know so we can.
But there are 5 great presentations. We have former Dr. Mark Wenner, who is the former chief economist for the Virgin Islands, and he talks about how the lack of data is really hurting us. And if you look at these global websites, you know, that have international data, we're missing data. You know, we're just not present. And the impact that that has on our economy. Dr. Mills is supposed to be on, but he, you know, too much was going on at the time, and he declined. But we had the former director from the Department of Education of Research, Education, and Planning, Randolph Thomas. He's the brainchild of the VIVI system, and he was talking about governance. We had Dr. Kim Waddell, who's one of the co-leaders of Hazard Mitigation and Resilience.
Hazard Mitigation, I was going to ask about it.
And the other one was Dr. Celia Victor. She was at Health and Human Services for many, many years.
Yeah.
And she is now at the Bureau of Corrections. So I highly recommend, each one is about a 10-minute presentation. And at the beginning, I do a little overview of data science. So I think that would be something that would be really worth wow for people to watch and to get, you know, to get part of the language, and I'll get you that URL.
Well, Professor Luciano, thanks for joining us. Good luck with the project, with the class tomorrow, and we'll reach out again so we can wrap it up. Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
You got it. That's the data mom, Professor Joanne Luciano, Department of Labor funded project data entry class for government employees going on right now. Tomorrow and Friday are the last of 5 different sessions that they've had beginning last week Wednesday. We'll take a break. Be back right after this.
With award-winning documentaries and specials, the BBC World Service brings you in-depth reporting and unique perspectives. Programs with a distinctive global flavor from the BBC World Service.
Starting at 2 a.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1.
Funding for the BBC World Service comes from First Bank. First Bank's digital bank offers check deposits, bill pay, transfers, and more from anywhere 24/7. More at onefirstbank.com.
Good morning, neighbor. I see you got your bumper stickers and yard sign up early.
Yes, I'm so ready for this election season.
Me too. Just waiting for the info on the polling places and then ballots.
What polling places? You mean voting centers? The election system is using voting centers this year, where you can go anywhere across the island, walk in, fill out a ballot. Just bring your ID.
Really? Because my daughter lives in Tutu, but walk all the way by the airport and would try to run back home before the sun goes down to vote.
Nope. You're no longer stuck to just your neighborhood on election day. Voting centers mean you can vote anywhere in your district. And the next time, try the early voting option too. Skip the line altogether on election day.
Girl, you have all the good tips this year, man. So, who's going to win?
Ha! Read my yard sign, then pick any voting center. Just remember, voting is not just your right.
It's the right thing to do.
A message from the election system of the Virgin Islands.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you prevent wildfires.
Dude, I've got this. I've been camping since I was 5 years old.
But I am a camping influencer.
You know what? I'll bet you $5. Assistant Smokey, what is the best way to put out a campfire?
To put out a campfire, drown with water, stir, drown again. Then make sure the fire is out cold by feeling with the back of your hand.
Wait, really?
I'll take the $5.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
And we're back here, and I lay this. We have a message from the U.S. Virgin Islands Division of Personnel. I've sent a text message out to Supervisor of Elections, Carolyn Fox, for the Tuesday thing. She, if is available, she'll be calling in sometime soon. The Virgin Islands Division of Personnel hosts retroactive wage compensation in-person outreach September 28, 2022. In lieu of the 22.8% distribution of retroactive wage compensation, VI Division of Personnel will host a series of retroactive in-person outreach sessions territory-wide. The first session will take place on Wednesday, September 28, 2022, at the Omar Brunk Senior Fire Station in Sugar Estate from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. These sessions will give eligible recipients, such as active GVI employees, separated GVI employees, retirees, or survivors, the opportunity to receive hands-on assistance with how to receive the 2022 retroactive wage payout. We highly encourage eligible recipients to visit the 2022 retroactive wage distribution portal on Division of Personnel's website at www.dopusvi.org/retro. to view their 2022 payout amount. If you plan to attend the retro in-person outreach sessions, please know that you are required to provide your last name and the last six digits of your social security number. Please note that by law, Division of Personnel is not permitted to share personal information of any kind, i.e. social security, telephone number, address, etc. Active, separated GVI employees or retirees and survivors who are applicable to receive retroactive payments are required to provide last name and last six digits of the deceased's social security number. Please visit and review the website for further instructions and the necessary documents needed to complete processing. As always, we encourage you to visit the www.dopsuvi.org/retro for all your informational needs regarding retroactive wage payouts. There are also frequently asked questions for your personal review. If you should have any further questions or concerns, email retro@dop.vi.gov. Our dedicated hotline, 340-714-5010, will also be available to speak to a Virgin Islands Division of Personnel representative who can verify information and begin the process of finalizing payments. Stay tuned for details regarding in-person outreach sessions in both St. John and St. Croix. We look forward to providing assistance to our GVI community to ensure that all entitled and deserving recipients receive his or her funds both efficiently and timely. Okay, so that's our press release from Ms. Laisha Campbell at the Division of Personnel, without a doubt, right? So Ms. Campbell, check this out, right? Call me when the show done so we could talk about some items in this particular press release. Okay? I believe we got some things here that we need to touch up. Maybe we could revise this a little bit. Okay? Yeah, we got a couple things that we could revise in this, yeah. But it's a good move, you know? Let people know what's going on. You can actually go there. As I went there, you know, I worked, I was an AFT member for 10 years, from 89 to 99. And I went to the website, put my last name and the last six numbers. Good morning, Rufus Tumble. For my social, and information came up. Let me check. Now, what I want to know, right, is the 22.8%, right? What does this represent? This represents 22.8% of what you are owed from the start of the retro payment process, with the first payment taking place in 2010, or 22.8% of what's remaining of what they owe you. For example, let me use some very general numbers, right? If you were owed $10,000 in retro, and back in 2010, they paid 16%. I think that was the number that they used. Right? That means you got $1,600. Right? That's what 16% represents of $10,000. Does this 22.8% payment, is it 22.8% of $10,000, or is it 22.8% of $8,400, which is the difference between what you originally owed and the 16% that you received in 2010? Okay? That to me is critical in getting people to mentally process what they're actually getting from a percentage standpoint. You know what I mean? And we can work it out. Zoe Zimmer, can you come inside the studio? I want to show you something on this release if you're not busy. And then we could, so maybe that could be something, a topic of discussion at tomorrow's first session that's taking place on St. Thomas at the Omar Brown Senior Fire Station in Sugar Estate. So that's pretty much what we had. Okay? Let me do a COVID-19 update. Good sample from yesterday's data. 356 negatives, 18 positives, just under a 20-1 ratio. And of course, you know, 19-1 gets us at 5%, so we definitely met that. So I like that for the Virgin Islands. Of course, you know, we're hearing things about a wave taking place in Europe, and there's a lag. Typically comes to America a couple of weeks to a month after. So we got to keep an eye on that. Okay? Of the 18 positives, 12 were on St. Croix, 6 were on St. Thomas. Actives in the territory now down to 73. 49 on St. Croix, 23 on St. Thomas, and 1 on St. John. Okay, so we're doing good in that regard. Nationally, actives at 52,539. 14-day average, 10% positivity rate, 417 deaths on average. Hospitalizations now under 30,000, at 29,443, of which 3,599 are in intensive care. So that's where we're at, where COVID-19 is concerned. Yesterday was not a good day on Wall Street. We're in a bear market right now, down another 329.60 points, 1.11% market share loss for the Dow. Four of the 30 blue chip stocks saw gains yesterday, 26 did not. You know what I'm saying? So, I got to look at something here. Because we had, hold on there. I want to check something here with my data. Market. Let me see. I want to look at NASDAQ. NASDAQ was down 0.06%. S&P 500 was down 1.03%. And Russell 2000 was down 1.41%. Their share has been at a higher percentage loss than NASDAQ and S&P 500. They lost 2.48% on Friday and then 1.41% yesterday. So, and this is a political gamesmanship going. I hear blaming whose fault is it? And all that stuff. So we're going to see what's going on. Got a text message here from some important people to me. Could you find out from the Department of Health when the new booster will be available and how to make an appointment to get it? Okay? I believe my good friend, Notorious TC, HC, will be listening to me. So she probably heard me there. But I'm going to send her a text message anyway, because that's how we'd respond to our listeners, right, Mr. Turnbull? Listeners, say good morning, Madam Director. Could you please inform us as to availability. Bam, bam, bam. Availability of no booster. No booster. Thank you. Okay? So I just sent that text message to Ty Camille Hunt-Caesar. And hopefully she'll respond accordingly. Supervisor Fox, she said, to that bad, we'll try. It's all right, you know, we understand, we'll check. We'll feel that way. You know, we could look over there. As a matter of fact, what we're going to do, we're going to review, because someone's going to be joining me in a little bit. We're reviewing who we've heard from so far, or spoken to so far. 6 senatorial candidates. Patricia James, Javon James, and Diane Capehart. And St. Croix, for their lottery, Sherrianne Francis. And from St. Thomas, Don Henry and Joel S. Broncana, right? So we got, on the St. Thomas side, 9 more that we're going to hear from, right? And on the St. Croix side, We got 16 more eligible to hear from. Now, one of them we know, right, historically, did make arrangements to be a part of forums and things of this nature, and they never show up. We ain't gonna call their name, of course, you know, cause, you know, we're better than that. But, you know, we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. I think tomorrow, in hour number two, after we speak with the Baitima director, in hour number one, Daryl Jashin, we're going to hear from the Senate Vice President, Novel E. Francis Jr. He's going to be joining us in the Canada Speak tomorrow in hour number two. Yeah, and then we're going to hear from Nemi Williams Jackson, hour number two on Thursday. I believe we got a slot open Thursday in the first hour. So if any candidate listening now and they want to get on the Candidate Speak, are we picking up steam, and you don't want to miss your 40 minutes interview here on this medium, we do have a slot available Thursday in hour number one. And then on Friday, we got Cancer Support, Pinktober. October 1 is Saturday, so we're going to preview that on Friday, September 30th. And then that's hour number one. And hour number two, Genevieve Whitaker, incumbent senator, she's going to be joining us on the Candidate Speak. Then, you know, when October comes, you know, gone wild. Check. Everybody, you know, going to be here on the set, whether on the mic calling or whatever, and we're looking forward to talking to them. We haven't spoken to any Board of Elections members yet. We're going to be speaking to the first gubernatorial team in hour number two today. So definitely looking forward to that. And we haven't spoken to any Board of Education candidates, St. Thomas, St. John. St. Croix already out of the way. One Board of Elections member from St. Thomas, Ms. Harriet Mosser. And we're looking forward to talking with as many candidates as possible. Because it's a 40-minute interview, you know, we're good for two a day. And we're doing the math, right? Effective Monday, like I said yesterday, right? We got 5 full weeks between Monday, October 3rd, and Friday, November the 4th, right? Look like the table talk, you know, the table talk look like you might have to go on a mini hiatus, you know, just to, so we could satisfy all the candidates and give them a chance to come on. So when we do that, you know, we open up another 10 slots for those 5 Mondays, October 3rd, October 10th, October 7th. Well, the 10th, you know, that's Zoe Zimmer going to determine that one day. Go check, cause that's a holiday. The 17th, the 24th, the 3rd. Yeah, the 31st. Yeah, 31st. Halloween, October 31st, so. We'll see how that one goes. Check this out, Mr. DJ. The phone ringing, right? So we're going to go to a break. When we come back, answer that call there. Ms. Fox going to be calling in. So we're going to talk a little bit. Okay? Take a break. Be back right after this.
Bank of St. Croix has personal savings plans for all types of savers, designed to assist customers with their long and short-term goals. The Young Saver Plan can be a tool to teach children under the age of 18 how to manage their finances. The Holiday Club account is available for vacation savings. More at their 2 locations, one in Gallows Bay and one in Peter's Rest, with 24/7 access via the Bank of St. Croix mobile app and at bankofstcroix.com.
Throughline is always looking for a new spin on historical events we think we understand.
And we're so excited and proud that our series on Afghanistan won a Peabody Award.
The history of Afghanistan has too often been told by those who tried and failed to control it from outside. We wanted to bring you this history from the voices of Afghans themselves.
Listen to Throughline from NPR every week,
Saturdays at 7 a.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
Synergy Fitness and Wellness Center, located in Red Hook on St. Thomas, has been serving the community since 2011 and offers on-site and virtual speech therapy, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and nutritional counseling. The therapists work with one patient per session. Synergy Fitness and Wellness hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. through 6 p.m., and Saturdays, 9 a.m. through 4 p.m. No referral needed. Synergy Fitness and Wellness, 340-714-2348 or synergyvi.com.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
And we're back here on Analyze This, and I believe we got a supervisor of elections, Ms. Carolyn Fox, on the line. Good morning, Madam Supervisor. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning to your listening audience. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm good. Still busy?
Busy, busy. I'm on a 9 o'clock to St. John, waiting on the ferry dock.
Thank you very much for making some time for us to speak to us while you're in transit. What's going on in St. John? Just some basic rudimentary stuff?
Well, my regular visit, and you know, we have the big event coming up this weekend, October 1st, is the Expo, Elections Expo, and on all three islands. So I'm handling the St. John Expo. Mr. Terrell Alexandre, St. Croix Deputy, handling the St. Croix. And Ms. Douglas handling the St. Thomas Expo. So we want to make sure this is a grand finale one, just to do the last lap before registration closes on the 9th. And so we're still encouraging persons, if you're interested in registering, you have until the 9th, and I'm going to go through the extended hours. And we're also looking at 17 and a half. If you're 17 and a half, making 18 by November 8th, you're eligible to register to vote. So we're making that pitch. We put it out in all the schools, but now parents and family members can hear. If you have any child making 18 by November 8th, they can register to vote before it gets to October 9th. And we're doing some extended hours Saturday, October 1st. We have the expo, so that's 9 to 3. And we're giving out free voter ID card if you duplicate. If you want to have a duplicate, usually you will have to pay for that. Wednesday, October 5th, we're going to be open until 6 p.m. at all St. Thomas and St. Croix offices. Thursday, the same thing, until 6 p.m. Friday, October 7th, until 7 p.m. So that gives you a good 7th October, 7 p.m. Saturday, October 8th, we're going to do 9 to 12. That's the 8th of October. And Sunday, the last day, we're going to do 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. at our St. Thomas St. Croix office. So we're encouraging folks, you still have time to register. It's not too late for the general election. And we're encouraging folks to get out and participate. Absentee ballot applications are still available. You can fill it out online, electronically, and send it back. You can come to the office and fill it out manually and leave it with us. And if you checked off all elections during the primary election, then you don't have to do anything, but you can call to verify. So, again, that's another option. So when you check all elections, you're covered for all elections, even if we have a runoff. So that's one thing. I'm also happy to report that we met our deadline. We sent out 10 overseas and military ballots by the deadline, which was the 25th Saturday. But we did that before that. So we got the 10 out, and we're pretty much on target. Like I said, a big event for us is the first, and then the next big event for us will be early voting. Early voting starts on October 10th until the 31st, and it's every day, including weekend, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. And so the sites are in St. Croix, the elections office, the St. Joseph Hospitality Suite. So you can go to either one. Now, because you live east, you need to go to Sunny Hills. If you live east and you're in the west, doing some business, you can go to St. Joseph Hospitality Suite. On St. Thomas, we're now back in our offices. So it's going to be the St. Thomas Election Office. And Tutu Park Mall, where we were last for the primary, the old Scotiabank area. So we're happy to have that space again until the general election, because then after that, it's going to someone else. Then on St. John, we're back in the office because school is in, so we couldn't use Julius Paul Cafeteria. So we're now back in the St. John election office. So we're encouraging all to come out and participate. And then the next last highlight that I have is, if you have questions, I mentioned to you the last time about the inactive, active voters that we're working on a big major campaign. And as you can see, there are many flyers, well, posters on the air radios and whatnot. And we also did an article in the Daily News yesterday to explain the process. So I'm just going to do a quick synopsis. For anyone that voted in the primary, your vote still count. We are looking at records from 2014 to 2018. So if you voted, then we know that you're still current. Your address is still the same and nothing happens to you. We're encouraging those that got the letters to return the letters. Those that have not or may not or whatever situation they're in, we will be posting a list in 3 or 4 different places in government where you can look at the list, you can see a friend or family name, and you can let them know or let us know whether they're still available to vote or not. So we're going to look at the sites. If you look at our human services, it's usually posted in post office. A couple of years, WAPA let us post it on their bulletin board and any other government entity where personnel where a lot of the public may go or someone will see the list. So again, we apologize and we offer our condolences and sympathy to persons that may have passed, but we don't know. So we have to send out those letters. So you got to remember, we deal with thousands of people. And so we don't know, unless it comes to us officially from the Department of Health, we don't know someone is deceased. So we can't know that your family member is deceased if someone don't tell us or we get the information from Department of Health. We are looking, we look at some states, what they have. And there is a form that we have before the legislature that they authorize us to utilize, where a family can submit a notarized form stating that their family member may have passed, deceased, that they could have passed in the States or in a Caribbean island. And like I said, we would never know unless someone tells us. We don't take stuff from the newspaper or word of mouth on the radio, because sometimes people got different names, similar names. It might be a junior and then a senior pass or the junior pass. So we have to get it from official sources. And right now, that's the Department of Health. But vital statistics. So that's where we are. Again, elections, we're prepared. We are ready for this election. And I said, like I said before, we're fair, accessible, secure, and transparent. Anyone is welcome to come and see the process. You know, we have a lot of people that go on the radio and speak, but they do not come to see the process. Send someone of your persons to see the process so they could explain to you what happened. You know, it's not the good old days, and it's not like the good old days. So it's a different set of machines. And the process is open. Like I mentioned, poll workers work for us. They're all in the community members, family members, persons in different departments. So they're there. You're not seeing the supervisor on election day or the board. It's the poll workers, election officials that are doing the election. And you know how Virgin Islands are. So I'm open for questions.
Noel, well, I got an invitation from Mr. Alexandre to speak at the expo on Saturday. What do you want me to tell the people then?
Well, we want to encourage people the importance of voting. And so we're looking for speakers all over. I have some speakers over here in St. John too. So we're looking for you to tell them the importance of voting or why should they vote. You know, and so that's what we're looking at, especially, like I say, young and old, you know. So the reason why you voted over all these years, you know, and explain some of your experience, like why, you know, why you got into politics or why you decided to run for senator. But it all starts from your basic, what your dad or your mom taught you, or what you grew up knowing in school, civics. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're looking at. So over here, I have a former senator too, Carmen Wesselhoff. I have Pam Richards. We asked for Gilbert Sproul, but he's on St. Croix, so he might speak over there. And so we return, and now I have the schools participating. They may be doing essays. So I'm doing a different program over here, but we're looking at essays and poems. And the school even tell me about chanting. So some of the students may put a program together. And that's what I'm going up today to coordinate. So I look at GIF School, High School, and also Julia Sproul. So they had the request a week ago. So they're putting something together. And we have different entertainment for the group in the community. So we're trying to make it a fair type event, you know, and we're doing voter registration and machine demonstration. But we got some free giveaways and light refreshments and drinks. So we asking everyone to pass by and participate, you know. Bring someone to register.
No, this thing is from what, 10 to 3? 9 a.m.
to 3 p.m.
So I could just show up anytime for my 15 minutes, or you let me know what time you want me to come?
You show up anytime and they will schedule you. That's why they don't have a schedule now, because we don't know who's going to come when unless you tell them.
Okay.
And say, John, I have a group tell me they want 10:30, so I know that they go.
Well, you know, I had to do it because reciprocity. I'm a big believer in reciprocity, and I got to make ourselves available for me, for the Tuesday thing here, and even leading up to the primaries and all that stuff. So it's only right that I show up there. And I have no problem doing it. I've been very fortunate as a candidate, having offered myself. So that's the least I could do. You know what I mean? So I got no problem doing it. I'm looking forward to doing it. Yeah. Because, you know, civics is very important. And, you know, the one thing I'll preview what I'm going to say now. You only get to use your vote ever so often. You know what I'm saying? It's so valuable that you should, you know, exercise it at every opportunity, because, you know, voting is so fundamental, and it speaks to the representative of the representative leadership, you know, where you live. And and so many of our forefathers and foremothers, you know, fought to have rights, you know, that we have today, that is only right, you know, pun intended, that we exercise it. And
do their little part. Yes.
Yeah, you know, and we, to be honest with you, we really don't have an excuse for our participation, given that we're a small island and we know everybody, that we really should be like a 70-75% participation in our general elections. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? At a minimum. And to see that it's come to this, to the point where sometimes we struggle to get 50-60%, that's painful for me. There is one thing I have a problem with, though, and I'm going to say it now, right? I believe that your name that they're on your board paper, right, should be mandated, right, on the ballot, notwithstanding if you want to include a nickname. You know what I'm saying? That's just me. You check, because should we elect you, right? We're electing you as Senator John Doe, right? Your nickname might be Skip, right? John Skip Doe, right? But when we see you, right, we recognizing you as the Honorable John Skip Doe, not Skip Doe. You check what I'm saying? So that's the one thing that I think we need to tighten up there. You know, I don't want candidates to think they shouldn't be able to use the nickname, because a majority of people know you more by your nickname than your regular name. But I just think that's something that we need to tighten up a little bit more. That's just me. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what it is right now. That's what the law is, based on what they're stating. And you only could do a nickname, but your nickname only could be 22 characters.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you can't go more. The nickname plus your name only could include 22 characters. So whatever you want to put, but we have to go by what's in the board paper. What you register by is what we have to put down first. And if your nickname could fit in there, then that's fine.
Okay, so the nickname is allowed with conditions that it fit in and be no more than 22 characters.
Correct, 22 characters. That's in the
22 list. Characters in total for the whole name, or 22 characters for the nickname itself?
22 characters for the whole name.
For the whole name. Okay.
Everything. 22 characters.
22 characters. Okay, good. Good. So if we got 7 letters for the first name and 7 letters for the last name, that's 14. That means that means your nickname. And do we count spaces?
Yes, you count spaces. So space between your first name and your last name.
So you only got six leave over then, because yeah, so you only got 6 for the nickname after that, right? If you got 14, right? And then we got 2 spaces for the nickname on both sides, then you could use 6, a 6 character nickname. Okay, good. See, I learned something this morning. I appreciate that. So we exported in St. John?
Huh?
So we going to St. John today?
Yeah, I'm heading up there in a little while.
Okay, good. Well, safe travels on the ferry. And
take care.
And show the people living in St. John that love ain't limited to St. John. We don't bring love from St. Croix.
Yeah, love from St. Croix to St. John. That's correct. We always look for the St. Johnians.
Without a doubt. Thank you very much, Tuesday thing.
Have a great
appreciate
day.
It.
Okay, bye bye.
You got it. That's Supervisor Carolyn Fox getting ready for arguably the most hectic month that the Board of Election System is going to have, October. For this year, you know, 2022, in advance of the general election taking place on November the 8th, right? 42 days left, okay? 31 in October, 8 in November, and 3 more in September, okay? That's your 42 right there. And time flying. I remember when it was 70 days. And 4 of them weeks done gone already. Like it's nothing. October day I come Saturday. And we want everybody who is registered to vote to exercise your inalienable right. And go out and vote, man. Be a part of this thing. Let me, according to say in the same St. Thomas, let me smash the records. Right? Get out and be a part of the process. You know what I'm saying? You only get to do it ever so often. You know what I'm saying? Be a part of the process. And then after the election cycle done, you know, get involved. You know, one of the things that I have a problem with, you know, even though I ran as a Democrat, I've been a registered Democrat from when I first registered at 24. 1988, so you know my age, right? Democratic Party is, from a numerical standpoint, in my opinion, it's too big. And it's created a level of complacency, political complacency here in the territory. The other parties that kept the Democratic Party in check, the numbers keep dwindling. You know, of course, you know, America is known for a two-party system with the Republican Party. But we had a third option here from a party standpoint with the Independent Citizens Movement, ICM, Rebel Democrats, who, you know, kept the two parties in check. They actually dominated elections in the past, you know, things of that nature. So we need to get that, you know, going as well. And, of course, you have the right to remain independent as well and not be affiliated. But please register and participate. To vote. Okay, we'll take a break when we come back. Might sneak in a quick call with the National Weather Service, see how they're making out down there. And then at 9:10, gubernatorial candidates number 2, Ronald Picard and Elroy Turnbull, will be joining us on the Candidate Speak. Be back right after this.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
El sistema de elecciones de las Islas Vírgenes lo está haciendo más fácil para que tú formes parte de nuestro equipo por medio de nuestro programa de voluntarios. Estamos en busca de personas buenas como tú que puedan proveer a cada votante el apoyo que necesitan para que efectivamente puedan participar en el proceso de votación. Puede comenzar recogiendo y completando la aplicación para voluntarios de cualquiera de nuestras oficinas en el territorio. Usted puede servir como monitor. También tienes la opción de convertirte en un facilitador, asegurando que los votantes que están votando por primera vez, los envejecientes y la comunidad de deshabilitados puedan votar con confidencia y acertadamente. Si tienes el tiempo y estás dispuesto a servir, hay un lugar para ti. Solo inscríbete. Si quieres más información, llama al 340-773-1021 y recuerda, el votar no es solo su derecho, es lo correcto hacer.